Good morning, brethren. Good morning. Let's open our Bibles together in the First Thessalonians chapter 1 from verses 1 to 10. First Thessalonians 1, 1 to 10. Heavenly Father, we worship you as we come unto your presence to partake of the bread of life, the bread of your word. We pray that you nourish us as a body of Christ here with your truth, and may your truth do its work in our lives today, O God. That's revive us, awaken us, and turn our face unto that Savior, and quicken us unto good works. Whatever your work needs, your word needs to do, we depend on you. We bless you that your word that proceed from your mouth, they don't return to you void. They accomplish the purpose for which you send them. We bless you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have more than one child here? More than one child, okay? A few of us. It is something that we all know, but sometimes we don't want to admit it. We don't want to we do that. Of all of our children, right, we somehow sometimes have a soft spot for some of them, one of them or two, right? Some of them that we specifically like. We should not do that, but that's what we have as a human being. We kind of a little bit soft spot for them. I am a teacher. You all know that. I have classes that I teach, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have particular classes each year that they are my favorite class because of the way they respond to me, the way they embrace me, embrace whatever I teach them. Paul, in his work of evangelism ministry in the early church, also had churches that were sort of close to him, that were he really cherished those. He had soft spot for some of them. Some of them he would scold, like the Galatians. Like when he wrote to them, say, "What bewitched you? What has come over you?" You know. And the Corinthians, I always scolded them, but in love, right? But there's a few churches like the Philippians and the church that we're looking at today, the church in Thessalonica, they were churches that were close to him, the churches that he cherished. He cherished all of them, but this one's I always give thanks for you because of the way they received him. So we're going to be looking at this church today, and the title of my message is The Exemplary Church. We're going to look at this church that is chosen by God, a joyful church, a church that embraces the word of God, a church that lives out their faith, and a church that shared their faith. These are the few things we're going to be highlighting from this letter. As we proceed. So, let's look at the first few verses. Is just the traditional way that Paul will open his letter. He said to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. The church are the people that are called out by God. You and I have been called out by God to be his own people. That's very comforting from the get-go. He's telling them, you belong to God. I can say to all of us, we also belong to God. And now in verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. At least 3 times in this letter, Paul gave thanks for the church in Thessalonica. The first instance is this chapter 1, verse 2. There is another one in chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it as the word, as not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So we thank God for their reception of the word. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy that we rejoice for your sake before God? It was joyful over them. So, at least 3 times we see that he was thanking God for them. I want us to go back a little bit, to step back a little bit to the background information about this church, okay? So that we can see the orchestration of God behind the scene for this church. Well, not this church alone, but the Macedonian churches. If you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 10, so Paul has been through, you know, the first missionary journey was over. Then the second missionary journey went back to to encourage the people in Galatia, right, in the region of Galatia. And then now he wanted to proceed to Asia to go do more work among the new set of people there, right? And the Holy Spirit said, no, you are not going there. He wanted to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit said, no, you are not going there. And so a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them. So, Macedonia is that northern, how to describe it geographically, part of, I don't know how to describe it very well. But it's, you see the Macedonia, and then you see Greece below it, right? So, God was orchestrating where Paul will preach, when he will preach. He was directing behind the scene wherever he was sending his servant to go preach. That was why, in God's timing, he was sending them to go past the other Asian churches area and go across from Troas and then sail across like 200 miles to go over there to Neapolis and then to Philippi and then to Thessalonica and then to Berea before moving down to Achaia area. So the point I want to bring out here is that the Lord was directing where Paul should go because he had these people in mind. He had the Philippians in mind. He had the Thessalonians in mind. He had the Bereans in mind. These are the big cities along the what they call it, what is the name of this road? Route? What is it? There's a road that connects the region together. These are the big cities along this road. So, as it was the plan of God for them to preach first into these big in these big cities, then these big cities now, the churches found there, can go ahead and work with other smaller cities. If you see, if you read your Bible, it says it passes over two of the places that it passed over there that were not, it went straight to not Neapolis, but to Philippi, and then it passed over two other cities there and went to Thessalonians, to Thessalonica, and then from there to Berea. So the point is that it is in God's plan that they should go first to Philippi and then next to Thessalonica. That's the point I'm trying to make. Why? Because he knew what that church in Thessalonica was going to be. What are they going to do? What are they going to be doing later on as far as expanding his kingdom? He needed to go there first after Philippi because he knew that church would be instrumental in spreading the word more. It is also worth noting that this was not the only record of God specifically directing where to preach, when to preach. You remember, the angel spoke to Philippi. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, rather. He says, arise, go towards the south, along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Then the Spirit said to Philippi, to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. This was the early part of the church. God was directing specifically where to preach, who to preach to. This guy was coming from Africa. He needed to hear the word. He needed to believe. And he needed to take this word, this message, back home to Africa. That was another example of God directing what to preach, where to preach, who to preach to. There's another one in Acts chapter 18, verse 9 to 11. The Lord was speaking to Paul when he got to Corinth, and things were not going very well, like, you know, a lot of persecution and problems. The Lord appeared to him and said, in verse 10, he says, I am with you. No one will attack or harm you, for many people in this city belong to me. So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half, teaching the word of God. Many people in this city belong to me. That was where Paul founded that church in Corinth. So, what I'm saying is that the Lord directs where his servants are to preach and what to preach, because he has his chosen ones everywhere. The chosen ones that he has everywhere must be brought into that church, into the kingdom. So now we're going to look at the foundation of the faith of the Thessalonians, that we have seen a little brief background of that. So let's look at the foundation of their faith. Acts chapter 17, verse 1 to 4. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ has to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. So we see the foundation of the faith of the Thessalonians is based on the scripture. Paul and Silas were declaring the word of God They were preaching the word of God to declare the Son of God. This is a good thing for us to bear in mind whenever we have an opportunity to talk to someone, to preach the word of God to people, that the content of our message is Jesus Christ, that we are preaching Jesus. And we're not preaching him from our head. We are preaching Jesus from the word of God, the scriptures. That's what Paul and Silas were doing when they got to Thessalonica. They were preaching and explaining the scriptures to the people there about Jesus. Jesus is our message. His life, his death, his resurrection. That's the message that we bring to the unbelieving world. So now we see the foundation of their faith was on the word of God. In verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians, we read that, "We know, brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people." So here we see that the faith of the Thessalonians was not something random. They were elect of God. They were chosen by God. That was why God sent his servants to them. Cornelius was chosen by God. God sent Peter to them. Some of the people in Corinth were chosen by God. God sent Paul to them. Some of the people in Ethiopia, where the eunuch was returning, were chosen by God. So the eunuch need to take the word of God back to those people and preach the word of God to them so that they can be part of the church of God. So their faith was not random, was not a random occurrence. It's because God chose them and he sent his servants to them to preach the word to them. There are people of God in this city that God has chosen for his own. There are still many of them out there who have not heard the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get to that part later on here, where, like them, God is sending us out to go bring the word to his people so that his people can hear the word of God. We read, I don't think I put it in this slide, we read in the book of Romans, he says, how can they hear unless somebody preaches to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? So, in the plan of God, his elect, like the people in Thessalonians, Thessalonica, God has chosen them to be his own people, and now Paul has brought the word of God to them so that they can hear it and believe it and be part of that people. It's a joy, really, for us to be instrument in the hand of the Lord to bring his word to people who are his. He's employing us to come alongside and be part of that work, to bring his word to his people who he had foreknown that they will be part of his church. So, the church in Thessalonica, they received the word of God. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 13 again. It says, "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received the message from us," I'm reading from NLT, it says, "you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God. And of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe." So, The Thessalonians, they were eager for the word of God. They knew that Paul was not speaking on his own. Paul and Silas were bringing the word of God to them. Whatever that was coming out from their mouth, as they used the scripture, they knew this is the word of God. So they embraced the word of God. They never lost their eagerness for the word of God. If any church, including ours, will be an exemplary church, it will be a church that embraces the word of God, a church that are eager for the word of God, a church that accepts the word that's preached to them as the very word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 now, it says, "So you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought to you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord." So we see that this is a church that also not only embraces the word of God, but also a church that is living out the word of God. We see in this verse that they were living out the word of God because they started imitating whatever they heard. They imitating the Lord. The goal of God for us is that all of us that are saved, we might become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where all of us are going, to be made just like him. So this church have begun to imitate not only the apostles, but also the Lord. They are becoming more like the Lord. They are living out their faith. Now, we go to Hebrews 13:7, where we see an injunction there. It says, "Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good things that has come from their lives and follow the examples of their faith." The Lord has blessed his people and have put pastors over us that we can look at their lives as example to follow. We don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh among us, but we have his designated people who will lead us well. When we are looking at the Lord and we are looking at their lives, we know that we can actually emulate or imitate their lives. Unless if they are trying to lead us astray, we don't do that. We don't follow them anymore. We only follow people, leaders that are leading us in the way of the Lord. Now let's go now to another aspect of this church that's very special. In verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians verse 7, chapter 1 verse 7. So, as a result of them receiving the word of God and living out the word of God, as a result you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. So, this is an influential church. Their influence now begins to spread. This happens not only to a church, but also individuals. As we spend time with the Lord, as we become followers of the Lord, it is of necessity that his image begins to reflect through our lives to the people around us. We begin to influence people around us. Now, this church is made up of individuals. The plan of God for us is that we are all growing in our faith and growing to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, so that individually we can reflect his glory. We can reflect all of the fruit of the Spirit that he listed for us in the book of Galatians chapter 5. You know, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of the rest began to manifest through us. So they became examples to all the believers beyond their region. They went beyond Macedonia now to Greece. Their influence spread all around. They are reflecting the Lord. In verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, this is a church that shared their faith. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. This is the part that really got into me as I studied this book over the summer. I took part of my summer to study the book of 1 Thessalonians, the whole chapter, chapter 1 through 5. I just went over and over again. But this part really stood out to me. They share their faith. A while ago, I think Pastor Chuck already mentioned it here. I want to remind us what happened in this church. A while ago, the Lord began to put the burden of spreading his word beyond this church, beyond this area, beyond here. Began to put it in the heart of the brethren in this church. And we began to pray. We were praying about it. The Lord knew our hearts, that we wanted to take the word of God beyond here. Guess what happened? The Lord sent the inheritance to us. This is a testimony of what God will do when we pray, when we seek the Lord, when we want to do his will. He sent them to us. They are evangelists. They have done the work of the Lord beyond America. They've gone overseas to Israel, you know, all other places they've been. The Lord has used them. He sent them to us. We did not call for them. We were not like churches that were like, oh, let's go look for some speakers to come and speak to us about evangelism. No. The Lord brought his servants that he's using currently to impact the world. He brought them to us so that we can practically learn from them. And they took us. They took the tool they had, they've been using in Malta, in Israel, in everywhere, you know, where they have been to. They took that tool. They told us, let's go. And they took us to Hammond Park. They took us to Sugarland. They took us to Pearland. They took us to different places and showed us how this tool of, you know, putting a puzzle in the front of people, how the Lord can use that to bring people, to strike conversation with people and begin to talk to them. That's what they did. The Lord did that because he knew our heart. We wanted to be like this church in Thessalonica. And so now we have an opportunity. Pastor Chuck came this morning, talked about on Saturday, we are going to be going out. As a matter of fact, we are going to be going out every time when we have fruit and tacos. Immediately following that, we're going to be going to wherever the Lord leads us. I want to make it part of our being, our practices in this church, so that we can go and spread the word of God to people, not in an invasive way. You need to be part, you need to come out yourself one day to come and have an experience of how this works. You will be able to test and say, yeah, wow, this is a good way for us to be part of what the Lord is doing beyond our church. So I want to invite us again to be part of that outreach. So the people, they share their faith. And the word of the Lord was ringing out from them. All of you have been part of this little outreach. You will be able to testify and say, I know the joy that follows when we are part of that, the joy that the Lord gives us. So finally, we see in verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. For they kept talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us, and how you turned away from idol to serve the living and true God. They were a church that was serving the Lord. Not only were they sharing their faith, but they were also serving the Lord. People today hop from churches to churches. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for where they can be served, where their needs can be met. They are not looking for where they can serve the Lord. And so all those other churches, they are making, oh yeah, we have to make our church friendly for people now because we have to meet their needs. Yeah, our needs are met, but that is not why we come to church. I put it to all of us today that we come to church not to meet our needs. The Lord will meet our needs. The Lord will provide for us. The Lord will, whatever that's on is there, but that is not the main thing. The main thing was what the Thessalonians were doing. They were serving the Lord. They abandoned their idols to serve the Lord. There were four things, I didn't write it here. There were four things that the early church were doing in Acts chapter 2. They met together to break bread. They met together to have fellowship. Fellowship means sharing. Sharing intimately with each other. How do I know if what issue I should be praying for you if I don't have communion with you? I pray to the Lord that the power of the Lord will come upon our church. The Spirit of the Lord will awaken his people and will grow us in the area of fellowshipping with one another. Sharing, having koinonia with one another. This is the heart of the Lord. We have children. I know when my children, the three of them, when they gather together and they are sharing and they are sending messages to us and say, we are in our brother's place now and we are having fun together. The Lord knows how joyful we are, me and my wife, that our children are doing that. That's koinonia. God wants his people in this church, if we are going to be like the Thessalonians, to have that as part of our fabric. They were sharing, they were breaking bread, they were also in prayer with one another. We have so much opportunity to be together and pray together. Wednesday night, after the word of God, we start there, we pray together. So I pray that the Lord will pull us into that, will give us that vision where our church will be an exemplary church, where the Lord will use our church to influence the people around us, influence beyond this area here into other areas, so that people will see, oh, when Paul will go somewhere, look, in verse 10, and they speak of how they are looking forward to the coming of the Lord. The coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who rescued us from the terrors of the judgment. Actually, I was looking for, I'm going to go back to the very first page over there, where he was talking about verse 9 again. Everywhere that Paul went, they were declaring concerning them that what manner of entry we had towards you. They don't even need to show, they don't need to say the word. They were just knowing that these people were actually sharing their faith and they are living the life that God has called them to live. So my charge to us today is pretty simple. If we are going to be an exemplary church, first, we have to embrace the word of God. Second, we have to be joyful churches, that not only embrace the word of God, but we also have that fellowship that's part of being joyful with one another, being relating to one another, and having that relationship with one another. And also that our faith is the one that we share to the world around us. And as I close, I want to say that not only is this a catalyst for the other aspect of their life where they are living their lives waiting for the coming of the Son of God. It could be today that Jesus Christ will come. It could be before we step out from here. That was what the Thessalonians, how they lived their life. That Jesus could come anytime. They were waiting for the coming of the Son of God. No wonder they were exemplary. No wonder they shared their faith. No wonder that they were joyful. No wonder that they embraced the word of God. No wonder that they were imitating the apostles and imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, because it's your word, not mine. I stumble, but you know what you're speaking to your people. You know exactly where you are taking your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us. We pray that you touch our hearts. That this word will not just be one message that we have today. Okay, the day is gone, but wait, Lord, that we might live it out. Our community here might be transformed. That we might begin to serve you. We might begin to embrace your word and begin to live out the life that you have called us to live out. Father, we bless you that you will meet every single need in our lives today, O God. You will bless Pastor JD, Stadeline, the family, and touch the dad of Stadeline, Lord, and minister to him and heal him, if that's your will, O Lord, and let your will be done in their lives. And everyone here that may have one issue or the other, health challenges, Lord, that you will touch us. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you all. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen.